then Isaiah says, he says, not only will he come with his arm, but he will also come with a reward. His reward. Now, he didn't have to say anything about that, but he said his reward is with him. Now, listen, Joel chapter 2. Now, we always quote the end of Joel chapter 2, but there's four prophecies in the book of Joel chapter 2. We always quote the end of it, sons and daughters prophesying, but there's four prophecies in that passage. And one of those talks about God coming down, and in the middle of destruction, changes his mind. He came down to destroy. He came down in judgment. But right in the middle of it, this is what Joel says. Who knows if he will just turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? Woo! I just wish I could say this the way I feel it. Even when God comes to spank you, he leaves a blessing on the table. Even when God comes to judge you, just because he's God, he can't walk into your, he can't even walk in to correct you without leaving blessings, handfuls on purpose, all just because he's God. Wherever he goes, goodness abounds. Wherever he goes, life is there. Wherever he goes, the grace abounds. Wherever he goes, the goodness of God is around him. Even when he comes, even when you were in your worst day and you knew you sinned and you thought he couldn't forgive you and he showed up and you thought he was going to smack you and instead he handed you a gift and said, yes, I came to judge you, but once I saw your face, I decided to love you instead of to judge you. I decided to keep you instead of throwing you away. I decided to put my arms around you instead of pushing you back. I've come to bless you. You think you deserve judgment, but I've come to bless you. Woo! His reward is with him. And then he says something that is so hard for us to comprehend. He says, look at God's work that's in his hands. Think about this. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured the heaven with a span, that's from here to here, that's a span, from thumb to pinky, measured the heavens with a span, calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scales and the hills in a balance. Okay, let's break this down. The first thing he says that God does is he measures the water in the hollows of his hands. Now, this got me to thinking, well, how much water is that? So I did a little research, and these guys hopefully will put that up there for you to see. Look at how much water there is on the earth. Go ahead, guys. There you go. Now, in case you don't know what those numbers are, that first number, that is just how many gallons are in the ocean, is 316 quintillion, 872 quadrillion gallons in the ocean. Now, if you add up the oceans and the glaciers and you add up the groundwater from the wells and the cisterns, if you add up the lakes and the soil moisture, the streams and the wetlands and the swamps, it totals to 326 quintillion gallons. Now, if you don't know how big that is 326 with 18 zeros. You got to see this. He just makes a little cup and picks it up. That's it. The hollow of his hand. Oh, can you? It's hard to stretch your head around it. But if you do, I promise you, you'll never have a problem praising him again. If you could ever get your head around the fact that God just, like this, 326 quintillion gallons, and don't spill a drop. He picks up the water in the palms of his hands. He measures the heavens with a span. So he measures the heaven with a span. So a span is from your thumb to your pinky. That's a span right there. That's why they call it that. It does like this. And that's how big a span is when they're measuring that in the Bible. The furthest that mankind has ever seen in the universe with the advancement of the Hubble telescope, as we've been able to identify a galaxy, the one that's most far away, that doesn't even have a name yet. They call it GNZ, and that's not a generation, by the way. GN small z dash 11 galaxy. Now, I know you're better at math than I am, but this one stretched me a bit. This galaxy is 13.4 billion light years away, which means that's how long it takes for their light to get to us. That's how they measure light years. Well, how much is a light year, Dr. B? Okay, this is one light year in miles, since we go by miles. This is one light year, 5,878,625,375,000 miles in one light year. And we have been able to see 13 billion.4 light years away. And that's the furthest we've ever seen. It's taken years to accomplish that. Years and years and years. And God just does this. The furthest we've been able to see, he can put his pinky on one side and his thumb on the other and say, oh, but there's more. That's just as far as you've been able to see. It keeps going, because when I said, let there be light, those words still echo. I'm not just a creator years ago of the heavens and the earth. I'm still creating every single day. New worlds, new galaxies. They keep going and keep going and keep going, because with all of that, God can put his finger on one, his thumb on one, and his pinky on the other. He calculated the dust of the earth. Now, I don't know how you do that, because this is what I've been able to find out with a AI and a little bit of help from Google. This is every day. No wonder you're tired, ladies and men, whoever dusts your house. No wonder you're tired. This earth receives 100 metric tons of dust every single day. Now quit blaming it on the air filter. Think about that. 100 metric tons of dust every single day come to this earth. And the Bible says God calculates it. You know what that means? That means he knows how many dust particles were in that dust storm. I mean, you wipe it away on a rag and throw it away, God can tell you how many dusts are on that rag. He calculates the dust. He weighs the mountains in a scale, and he weighs the hills in a balance. Then he talked about his shoulders. Well, there's only one thing I need to know about God's shoulders, and that's what he said in Isaiah 9. He said the government was on his shoulders, and I'm thankful for that every single day that I wake up. I don't know about you. Can I just put somebody's mind to rest here? Somebody who is news addicted and hasn't bought in entirely to our detox yet, our digital detox, and you have been filling your mind with news feed after news feed after news feed after news feed. Can I just give you a sense of peace right now, that you might be worried by all the things you see, that the nation is out of control, or the nations of the world is out of control, and this nation's going to attack that nation, and it's going to hit close to home, and this bomb's all those things in your mind. I want you to know what Isaiah saw about God's shoulder. He said, behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. They are counted as small as the dust on the scales. He lifts up islands and puts them down as a very little things. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted as less than nothing and worthless. The Lord says, why are you worried about the nations? Look at the size of your God. I can turn every nation, every king, every kingdom on this earth, I can turn it around at any time, because it's like dust in my hand. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 877-337-3336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Who is like the Lord? Verse 18 says, whom will you liken him? He says, have you not known? He answers this in 21. This is the verse I read earlier. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Have you not understood yet from the very beginning of time? God's height is unscalable. His depth is incomprehensible. His worth is incalculable. His strength is immeasurable. His might is unreachable. His greatness is far surpassing. His glory is all illuminating. His mercy is far exceeding. His power is unlimited. His wisdom is unfathomable. His wealth is indispensable. His beauty is all desirable. His love is all-compassing. His victory is eternal. His justice is flawless. His joy is unspeakable. His size is unspannable. His holiness is untouchable. His presence is inescapable. His face is unseeable. His mercy is undeniable. Who is like the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Who is like the Lord? And then I'm almost done with this part. Or with this message, actually. Let's go down to verse 28. He said, his understanding is unsearchable. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? In other words, God, you don't see my problem. God, you don't see the situation that I'm in right now. He says, why do you say that God doesn't see and God doesn't understand the circumstances of your life? Have you not known? Have you not heard from everlasting, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the universe, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable? I'm going to tell you, doesn't matter what's going on, God knows. It doesn't matter if you can explain how you feel, God knows. It doesn't matter if you understand what's going on in your life or not, God knows. His understanding is unsearchable. That's why we have such a hard time as humans understanding how God can love us in our sin, because we have a hard time loving people in their sins. We have a hard time forgiving people in our sins. We have a hard time forgiving betrayal, or forgiving a lie, or forgiving someone who did not pay attention or didn't say the right thing. But oh, that's not like the Lord. God will walk up right to you when you cursed his name and put his arm around you and say, I died for you when you were yet a sinner, and I want you in my family. God will walk up to you on the worst day when you've just come off of a sinning spree. God will walk up to you and say, I set a place at the table. I hope you show up for dinner tonight, because I love you, and there's nothing you could do to ever stop me from loving you. That's the God we serve. His thoughts are unsearchable. His ways are above our ways. You don't have to earn his love. He's given his love freely. That is why Jesus died for your sins. That is why God has put you on the path that you're in, because he wants you. You may not want him, but he still wants you. You may not even like him, but he still wants you. You may not understand him, but he still wants you. You may be running from him, but he still wants you. God's love is unsearchable. Listen to what he says. He loves you so much. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those, you know the rest of this, say it with me, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Has anybody ever found the strength of the Lord at a time when you thought it was about over? at a time when you thought the enemy was winning, at a time when the rumors were too much and the heat was too hot and the pressure was too much and the stress had become more than you could handle, and all of a sudden God says, I know where you're at, and I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give strength to the weak. I'm going to empower those who have almost lost their mind. Every one of us sitting here tonight, we know some of us could be in the graveyard. Some of us could be in the prison. Some of us could be in the rehab center. Some of us could be in an insane asylum. But here you are, sitting here in your right mind, serving God in the house of God, because He kept you. He loves you. He wants you. He kept bringing you back and bringing you back and bringing you back and bringing you back. God is so big, He controls the universe, but so small, He comforts us. Has it hit you yet that God knows your name? Has it hit you yet that He cares about the small issues of your life, even though He's ruling galaxies? Has it hit you yet that God is so big? One song that I heard as a child years ago, let me just quote it to you. Though man may strive to go beyond the reach of space, to crawl beyond the distant glimmering stars, this world's a room so small within the Master's house, the open sky is but a portion of His yard. How big is God? How big and wide His vast domain? To try and tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Hallelujah. Those who wait on the Lord, He shall renew your strength. Your strength. Now this is personal. It became very personal to John Smith, a 15-year-old in St. Charles, Missouri, who was on an ice pond with his friends skating and fell through the ice. They ran for his family. It took them 15 minutes just to pull him out of the water. 15 minutes, no life left in his body. They took him to the hospital, which was nearby, and for almost another hour, they worked on him and worked on him. An hour had gone by, and there was no life. And they told his mother and his father to come in and say goodbye. And his mother walked in, and all she could do in her moment of brokenness is she cried out these words with all of her heart. She said, Holy Spirit, bring him back to me. Holy Spirit, I need you to bring him back to me. I know you can, and I know you will. And about that time, after an hour, this boy's eyes opened. She ran out of the room and grabbed the doctor and said, you got to come in. His eyes are open. He said, ma'am, Mrs. Smith, don't get your hopes up. Though his heart might be beating and his eyes are open, he will be brain damaged for the rest of his life. But 2 days later, John Smith was talking. And 3 weeks later, John Smith refused to be rolled out of the hospital in a wheelchair. He walked out of the hospital on his own 2 feet because somebody said, God, can you come into this moment right here, right now?
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.